Tracy, this is your first one, but pretty conversational format. We'll have Council President for about 15, 20 minutes, and then Councilmember Sokka. So, yeah, I'll pitch it over to Council President.
Thank you all for coming all the way down to City Hall on Monday. So, thank you. And looking forward to answering whatever questions, or we could just talk about whatever y'all want.
Guess I'm curious to hear your reaction to the budget forecast. I know you were in that meeting, but the end result is basically a wash, but there were some warning flags there. How does that kind of inform your thinking in the next 6 months?
Yeah, I think it's early in the sense that I think, I know that Councilmember or Chair Strauss, our budget Chair Strauss, talked about like, hey, it's not, I don't want to say as bad as we thought, but kind of just being cautious and cautious, and also, you know, some people are optimistic, but I just think treading lightly, because we just don't know what quarter two is going to look like. How does that forecast, you know, when I'm thinking about budget and the process and how we're going to, you know, we know that we have a shortfall that is coming, a deficit. I also know that we're in a little bit an economic pull down also as well, and then understanding that there is just a ton of inflation in the country. So, you know, those things are always back in mind, thinking about gas, groceries, like these are affordability issues that are top of mind. And so I'm also thinking about the stuff that we're sending to the like different levies to people. How are they gonna be thinking about the budget process and what we're going through? And then also, unfortunately, like, you know, raising people's property taxes is also top of mind. So it's not necessarily like I have decisions, but it's just something that we're thinking about and being careful about how much we're sending to the voters.
Can you speak to the legislation you're working on with regard to encampments for people who are homeless this week, and how you want to try to guide that process?
Yeah, so we had two amendments. There were three bills that came down. Two of them were in Councilmember Strauss's committee that were basically signing authority and then also budget pieces. Like finding, the mayor had found some extra money, some underspent money. We had two amendments. One was we would like two shelters set up for the first 1,000 that are just families and children. We've heard people want to prioritize that. There are over 2,400 families that are in the McKinney Mental Program right now. So we wanted to make sure that we're prioritizing women and children. The second thing that we also co-sponsored was ensuring that the providers are not just one or two providers, that they also are culturally relevant to some of the demographics that we see on the street as well. Those are coming to full council on Tuesday. Both of those bills passed out of committee. The third piece of legislation is going to be Councilmember Lynn's committee, land use, which is the census piece. That's going to be first heard on Wednesday, and that's sponsored by Councilmember Dion Foster. We're looking for some amendments right now. A good neighbor agreement would be one, and then placement as well. Understanding where some of the sites are going to be as well. So our first time we're going to hear about that is on Wednesday.
Are you concerned about the speed of it? Because I know she's talking about trying to get 500 by June, and there was that council staff report that said maybe they aren't going to be 500 by June. Help me out with that.
Not necessarily the speed. I think everyone just wants properly sited shelters. Properly sited shelters that have security, that can make sure that we have enough beds, and also get people the services they need, particularly the treatment, because these are low barrier shelters that they're trying to stand up. I also want to clarify, there was a comment made by the mayor's office in Councilmember Strauss's committee. I can't remember if it was Monday, the special committee, or Tuesday. Not implying, but could have implied that council was potentially slow down the process. We have been on top of our game since day one, since we've received the legislation, referring it to committee, finding sponsors on our part, and then also having special committees to accommodate the speed in which the mayor's office is trying to prioritize this. Legislative process is very slow at times. It can be cumbersome. But I think that we have, if you've seen from the time it's been transmitted to it being passed out of council, I believe that we've done a really great job of expediting the priorities of our mayor's office.
For what they're asking of you, both money, changes to law, does it feel like they have their ducks in a row?
What do you mean, like?
Like, does the ask from the mayor's office feel sufficiently organized? Do you feel comfortable that there's a plan going forward? How confident are you in Mayor Wilson's approach here and plan?
I think council has done everything and anything. Can I shut that door? Is there someone else coming?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, sorry. I was getting
distracted.
I have ADHD, so I think we've done everything we possibly can within our realm to give the executive all the tools to execute a properly sited shelters. Now that's going to be on our mayor's office to execute that, but in terms of all the council legislation, the money, the increased capacity piece, willingness of all the council members saying, hey, we want to work with the mayor's office, we've given them every opportunity. I haven't seen a plan, but in the legislation, we require to see a plan in September. It's one of Councilmember Kettle's amendment was to see a full plan of what is your plan for the 4,000 shelters? How are you going to pay for it? What's the plan? And the implementation process is going to be the most important piece. Legislation is easy to get through. That is one of the easiest pieces. It is the implementation part that is like one of the hardest thing in building. And so now it's the building piece and implementing, and that's what we're going to be, that's going to be, I haven't seen that plan yet.
That's what my question is about implementation. You mentioned the good neighbor agreements, you know, an attempt to have an amendment on that. What kind of accountability for making sure that those agreements really are followed?
Yeah, so right now they're different for everyone. King County Regional Homeless Authority has a good neighbor agreement. The city of Seattle has one. The county has one. They're all different per provider. We're looking at different measures in which the first piece. Most people have feedback regarding, hey, who do we contact if they're on site, right? If we're having a problem with the shelter. I don't want to get an email and then it takes 3 or 4 days for a problem. So is a number posted outside a shelter so people can call if there's an issue? Is there an on-site manager that the neighborhood has? So they know, are there weekly check-ins? Like, we're going to be thinking of different metrics where there's a point of contact for the neighborhood and people to contact if there's issues. If there's an escalation point, I really don't know what those next steps are, just because we're analyzing what teeth does the city have for things. You know, you don't want to go extreme saying you won't get your next contract, you won't get a budget, because a lot of the providers want to do well, they want to be good neighbors, they want to have a positive impact on the community because a lot of their projects are spread out all around the city. But we need to have a little bit of, a carrot so people, you know, just dangling the carrot so we can have just better outcomes for folks.
Are we good, Dan?
Yes, anything you want.
Thank you, Councilmember. I appreciate you being available like this. My question is actually about the Neighborhood Resource Officer program that was launched in Madison Park.
Yep.
And I am hearing from a lot of neighborhoods that want the same thing.
Yep.
And it sounds like the chief's committed to some form of that. He talked about expanding to Little Saigon and Third and Pine with storefronts. What's the criteria you're going to need from neighborhoods? Is it a shift in resources? Is it new resources? And what could the public expect about the resource program?
So I love the resource program. You're talking about the one on Magnuson?
Magnuson Park.
Yeah, I love it. The neighbors up there have asked for it. And I know that Councilmember Rivera, the chief, had been working on that for a long time. What we've been doing on Capitol Hill is we've been doing these walks with the police captain, Captain Britt has been phenomenal of walking with the neighbors, and I know some of those people on the department were like nervous about like, hey, is the community going to receive us? They've been well received, so I'm going to be advocating for that in the Central District, in Capitol Hill. We'll hear feedback from people, but most people just want a positive relationship with our officers, and I know other council members want it. So when I saw that happening in Magnuson, I was like, yo, I really want to have that in our district, particularly Capitol Hill and the Central District as well.
So having the officers permanently based, hyper-focused on one area, does that cost more money? Is it a shift out of patrol? How does that work long term?
So the one thing that I was happy about was the boots on the ground, like people walking around. So foot patrol. That was the one thing I heard. It was like, hey, we're having a station here. We're going to have this presence. But it was the foot patrol piece. That's what a lot of people want. They just want to see officers in their community getting out of their car, walking around, introducing themselves. So just having that interaction. I don't know if it would cost more money to have officers in certain places, but I do know that people want to actively see them walk around. It's kind of like grocery stores. Grocery stores, if they have a surface parking lot, they're always asking for the mobile precinct because it drops 30-40% the activity that they've had. All grocery stores have asked, a lot of them have asked for a mobile precinct, that presence, or just people walking around.
What was your reaction to the mayor's announcement that she wants the next phase of the comp plan to be accelerated, taller, faster?
Phase three and phase four, mm-hmm. Right? Yeah, welcome to it. I know that they talked about transit corridors being that target. I know that Councilmember Lynn is supportive. We heard it a day before that was one thing that she was going to redirect OPCD to do after phase two. And so we welcome it. I want to see the plan. What does it look like? Where are they targeting? As I said before, I just want Laurelhurst to look like 23rd and Union. So.
Councilmember Rivera was asking for an audit of the Human Services Department.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's the bandwidth within the department for that to happen. I reached out to the auditor's office about that. But is that on your radar? Does that need to happen for the city? What do you think?
Yeah, and I'm sorry, go back. I'm not trying to just target Laurelhurst, but just neighborhoods that have not been, I don't want to, like, Laurelhurst thinks I'm coming after them. So just like all neighborhoods to have that type of growth. The audit that Councilmember Rivera, that might be something you might have to ask her directly. The question was, Brian, like,
does it need to happen? Yeah, do you think it needs to happen?
I think that when the county had their audit and we saw 2% of the, it was 2% of the contracts that they audited, and they saw some money that was, mismanaged and some contracts that were not executed. I know that alarmed some other folks, and I believe that Seattle had put a pause on some of their contracts being executed just so they could look at some of their metrics that they were doing. The difference between the county and the city, the county does, the city does billing in the sense that you have to spend the money and then that's replaced. From my understanding from the county, sometimes they do advances. And so that's a very different metric between the county and the city. So that's the first thing. But I would welcome an audit in any department, whether that is Human Services, whether that's the police department. We do an audit with Seattle Public Utilities every year, because they're such big departments. So I think we'd welcome any type of audit so the community and people, the taxpayers, could know that we are good stewards of their money so we can do better.
You mentioned earlier about the affordability and the levies and everything. And when you guys, when the Committee of the Whole met last week, there was the talk about, this is a lot, but we're going to send it out there anyway.
Yeah.
How did we get to the point where, certainly this predates you, where, a third of most, departments that have levies, their funding is from the levy. It's like you can't even get to the rest of it.
Yeah, so the mayor's office sent down the levy. It was 410. Council, I think we expanded 479.
Yes.
A pretty different jump, but if you divide that over 7 years, it's very different. You hear 410 and you hear 479, you're like, wow, that's a lot. I looked at it from a number of points. Number one, there were things that I knew that we needed. If we had pushed them and kicked the can down the road, then it would have cost us even more. So just understanding that piece. We heard from overwhelmingly amount of people that libraries were important to them and they wanted to keep them open. And it the levy that we proposed didn't enhance massive amount of services. It kind of just maintained it and increased with inflation. And the stuff that we did vote on to increase it, a lot of it was maintenance, like elevators, the West Seattle Historic Library. So I think there were things that we were very intentional about, not just like expanding our reach, where we expanded more than what I think the voters had an appetite for. But your question is, how can we get to a point where we don't have, like, where the levies aren't as much? Was that what your question?
Yeah, because there's such a large portion when you say, okay, well, here it is, and it's a third of the funding or whatever. It's like, well, what is the main part of the funding that originally?
Yeah, I often hear folks say, like, we live in a very wealthy city, or I know that people do not mind paying certain taxes if they got certain outcomes. Bottom line, if we spend the most on our parks, our bathrooms should be open, right? Like, those are things where people felt like, hey, I feel like I'm getting a good return on my investment. They wouldn't mind so much the levies or paying certain things, but they just want to see outcomes. And I think we can do a way better job of our implementation and outcomes, so people feel like they're paying for world-class services and getting those on the back end.
I think it seems to me, what I hear from a lot of people is that they do support libraries, they do support doing what we can for the homeless, but every time we talk about funding that, it's a tax and spend rather than a cut and spend.
Yeah.
I mean, do you think people here in Seattle have a tolerance for just levy after levy after levy, considering that affordability is such a big issue right now?
So I think there are things that we can't control in Seattle that are hurting people. Number one is gas. We don't control the OPEC system or the world, you know, delivery on gas, or what that price per barrel is. And so people are feeling that at the pump. The other piece are groceries. Like, people understand groceries are really hard to, you know, buy and purchase. And those are things that we don't have control over. We kind of just a little bit for operating for the city of Seattle. But so those are things. And the third is housing. And that's one thing that we kind of have control over, but we don't control the price of timber or, you know, understanding what the economy is, inflation, like those things. And so if the economy was just at its highest peak and we all felt like prices were low and we're just booming, it's the 90s, I don't think people would think about those as much as they are right now. So I do believe that there is an appetite for people to continue to vote for levies, but I there are things that we just can't control with the economy right now. So, like, would I have chosen to do a levy at 479 versus 410? I voted on everything that I thought that people, that I heard were really important to people, that people just didn't want to sacrifice, and just made the best decision financially as a council member.
Piggybacking on what you just said about housing costs.
Yeah.
Some housing advocates are asking for a reduction in the mandatory housing affordability program, temporary reduction to get some projects moving in the pipeline. Do you have a position on adjusting MHA fees right now?
So I'm open to it. I think a complete like pause or getting rid of those taxes and fees, they want me to call them fees, not taxes, but whatever, it's still a payment, so I'll call them a payment. I'm open to it just because I've seen some of the projects that could potentially, with a reduction, could just be online, you know, quick, or might be in the queue in those pieces. So I'm all for the potential of the, you know, the 3-year, I don't know what they call it, like a 3-year, reduction temporarily to kind of fast track and kind of jumpstart some stuff. So I'm supportive of that. I'm also really supportive of, if you live in a historically redlined neighborhood, like historically, and you're a legacy homeowner and you wanted to build in your backyard or whatever, there should be some type of reduction or some type of pause or some type of assistance to help you be able to build that. Because I know for a lot of people that the MHA fee is like the thing that they cannot, they can't absorbed in their costs when they're building.
You do one more CB?
Yeah, whatever.
Okay. Is there momentum on that question, the MHAP question?
I believe there are folks like at talking about it. I know Councilmember Lynn talked about it on some of his podcasts he was on. There was an article about it in the Times. I think there's momentum at council as we're talking about building faster, cheaper, taller, you know, just denser in certain neighborhoods. And then also with that, can't just be zoning. You also have to figure out, okay, where's the bottleneck? And here's the thing, the proof is in the facts. If you just look at we have a great dashboard that I love, which shows the amount of permits that are being issued and how many housing is being built. We're at a really low point right now in Seattle with building. And I think the MHA fee of, you know, that 3-year reduction to jumpstart stuff, I think would be a huge win for the building community. And I can answer other questions. I know you said Saka is coming, but I'm more than happy to answer more too.
What else should be done though? Because right now, you know, yeah, there's all the push with the comp plan and all that to, well, zone more and make more possible, but if yeah, nobody's building anything, then what's the point?
I think we're really missing the primary, people that want to build are so many folks that are in single family zones that literally want to build ADUs and DADUs and extensions or convert their house into a duplex, triplex. I would love for SDCI to have folks present here and available to help people walk through things. Most of the time I hear, oh, we're just going back and forth. It's really hard to get into contact with people. Like, you know, OPC is working on funding and money to help people, you know, just get over a hump of being able to, you know, perform and build. Like, just your regular homeowner. I think that's really a missed mark. Not just the developers. Developers have folks where they have a lawyer, they have people who can navigate this pretty simple. I think we should look at everyone as a developer. Bye. Thank you. See you later. Bye,
Brian. Sorry.
Thanks for coming.
This is great. I'm really glad
you're
doing these. Yeah.
Well, thank you. I hope they don't feel a waste of time.
No, they're not at all. Thanks a lot, Brett.
Okay.
Good.
Easy? Yeah?
Yeah.
I need to get a councilmember Saka.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Really appreciate y'all coming. And then I'm always available. Like, hopefully this is helpful. And if it's not, just tell us how we can do better. But Brad put a lot of time and work on this, so I'm just really grateful for that.
Thank you.
Thank you. Do you want me to go grab Councilmember Saka?
Sue's running back there now.
Awesome. Great.
Thanks, CP.
Okay, awesome. Thank you. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Is it just whoever has availability on review tunnels?
It's whoever commits.
Whoever commits.
Yeah, so CPs are kind of anchored. Mm-hmm. So she's always down. Normally Kettle's always down as well, but I guess it is, technically it's Seattle spring break, which I probably should have adjusted for.